Yesterday, upon the stair, I met a man who wasn't there.
Hello? Can you find me?
He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away.
I'm behind you. I'm right behind you.
Last night I saw upon the stair a little man who wasn't there.
Don't be scared. I just want to play a game with you.
He wasn't there again today. Oh, how I wish he'd go away.
Hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Whispers, a Through the Abyss podcast production. I'm your host, Mandy, and today I am joined by Tracy and Susan from Emerald Coast Paranormal Concepts. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for coming on and having a little chat with me today. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, thanks for having us.
Oh, anytime, anytime. I love talking to new paranormal groups because I don't believe I've ever actually had the chance to meet you guys yet.
No, we haven't.
Oh, I thought we spoke when you were doing the world's
largest ghost hunt.
We did. I don't know if we did. Did we do any Zoom meetings? I don't remember. I don't think we did at that
no.
time.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I knew you guys from there, but this is the first time I think we've ever face to face, quote unquote, got to chat. So the first thing I want to know is how in the world did you get involved in our crazy hobby?
I'll let you go first. You go first.
No, you go first.
Well, it started for me when I was in the military. I had a couple great experiences when I was in the military. And because of those great experiences I had, I decided to delve in it. And this was years ago. And not as much as we have been in the last 12, 13 years, but on and off since the early 80s.
Okay.
My turn?
Yes.
I don't think I've ever been interested really in the paranormal. I never watched TV shows. Tracy started with a group, and every time he would come home, he'd complain. And I said, well, start your own group. And he goes, good idea. And that's kind of how we got started.
And how big is your group
now? She really, it's just three of us now.
Oh, small groups I think are better, personally.
Yeah, they are.
Usually less drama.
Yeah, she, very lot less drama. But she actually didn't get into it till, I don't know, she went on a couple investigations when I was part of that other team. And she had some really great ideas on what to do. And then she started seeing in her mind's eye beyond. And I think either one or the majority of those investigations we went on to, or she went on, turned the light on for her.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I think ever since then, her mindset in all this is to make the force within her stronger and better, which helps the investigation team.
Sure.
You know,
Susan, would you consider yourself, or is it more psychic or is it more empathic? What type of gift do you think you have?
It is for me. I don't want to say that I'm psychic or empathic. I guess that would be what, if you were to label it.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy and I investigate completely different. Me more so intuitively.
Mm-hmm.
And him a little more.
And more analytically.
Okay.
Yeah, Tracy is a lot more analytic. Yeah.
That's really
and
cool.
We have another member of our team, Dee, And her and I are like, we feed off of each other. And it just kind of adds a little bit more to the investigation, I guess, for
It sounds
lack of a
okay. Yeah,
better.
it's a good dichotomy, I think, between the two of you
Yeah,
guys.
we have really great synergy together.
Fantastic.
Dichotomy. That's the word we got to start using.
Dichotomy.
Dichotomy.
Oh, synergy's good too. That's another good word I like. I like that one a lot. Now, you, Tracy, had mentioned you'd had some experiences when you were in the military. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. My very first one is I was stationed up at the Tonopah Test Range in Nevada.
Oh.
Excuse me. And we have a central security control center. It's probably 2,000, 2,500 square feet. Right in the middle of it's our bank of cameras that we could view that were all in our hangars. This is where when the F-117 was secret.
Okay.
So we had cameras in all the hangars, cameras everywhere, and we had guys would sit in this area and watch these cameras. Now, in order to get access to these buildings, they'd have to call Central Security Control, they'd have to authenticate, then we in Central Security Control would unlock the door, they would go in. So we had a couple of maintainers that needed to go in to this hangar. So they did the right thing. They called us, went in, we allowed them to go in, and we're watching them on the camera. And they go start going into the hangar. It's an empty hangar now, just a bunch of toolboxes and stuff in there. And they start pointing at something at the wall. So we kind of pan the camera up to see what they're pointing at the wall. And there's this black mass that's like going up the wall.
Oh, wow.
So these two guys that were in there, you see one of them grab the other one like this, and they hauled ass. And they didn't even call us back to lock the door. They just left. So I
Wow.
grabbed a guy and said, well, let's go see what this is. So we go in the door, guns out, ready to go. And we don't see anything. So we're walking in the middle of the hangar, and there's this big mechanics toolbox. It's probably 6 foot long, probably 5 foot tall, real heavy on wheels. And it comes and it gets pushed out to the middle of the hangar where we're at.
Wow.
And it's all on video. So it kind of freaked us out a little bit. So we kind of just backed out, locked it, and then did our thing. And it was just, we, from that moment on, I'm like, we know what we saw, we know what they saw. So a few other things like that would happen up on the test range with me. But I would go out if there was an empty hangar. I'd go, let me go. I'm gonna go look,
Yeah.
So, and then the other big one for me would be when I was stationed at North Carolina, the apartment I had, there's a young lady that lived next door, and she come over and she was knocked on the door. She was just all panicked, in a panic mode. And I let her in. I'm like, what's going on? And she's just like in tears and just freaked out. She goes, my grandfather's next door. And I say, he's in my kitchen. I said, well, when's your grandfather come in? She goes, no, he's been dead. So I go over there and look, and my apartment and her apartment's the same, just opposite. So I go into her kitchen, and here stands a pair of cotton pajamas in the kitchen. That's all you could see was cotton pajama bottoms.
Oh, man.
So I did what any normal person would do and said, hey, and it just kind of went. So
Wow.
I was very hooked since then, and I went to the library when libraries were cool and got some books and started following up on Ed and Lorraine Warren and their followings. And then there was this group, and I'm gonna, excuse me, I forget their names, but early 1900s, they were an investigation team over in England. And they had wrote a couple books, and I read their stuff and just kind of went off from there.
Very, very cool, especially the military one. That would just,
Then the
yeah.
other times that I would, travel around the world, on Uncle Sam's dime, I would try to find time to research local places and go drop my head in, you know.
Oh yeah, Europe has a lot of them. It's incredible. I would move there if I
Yeah.
could. So, what are some of the favorite places that you guys like to investigate?
Number one would be the Russ House in Marianna, Florida. We have a contract with Jackson County that we have carte blanche for the Russ House. We can get in there
Oh.
as long as it's not being rented anytime we want. We do a lot of fundraisers for them. We allow the public to come in. We charge them a fee, and 100% of that fee goes back to the venue
Oh, wow.
for renovations and upkeep on the house. We've raised, I think we're almost at $20,000 we've raised for them over the years.
That's
And
fantastic.
we've done the Florida State Caverns. We're the only paranormal team that's ever been in there to investigate officially.
Man.
The Bellamy Bridge. We love the Bellamy Bridge. We do fundraisers for them as well. And but I think the Russ House is our favorite place. It's
Yeah.
very active, and it's a great place to bring people in and teach them that things don't come flying out of the basement. Things don't grab you and pull your hair, and it's a methodical investigation where you have to use all of your senses, not necessarily the tools of ghost hunters,
Right, yeah.
although we
You
do.
said methodical.
You're just
You're hooked on
you're
phonics.
overwhelmed by all these big
These
words.
big words are killing me. But
No
and she's
doubt.
right. For me, it'd be the Russ House too. The Russ House, was built in the late 1800s. A lot of stories over the years about stuff going on in the Russ House. Certain things that we proved about it during our investigations, like the one story that the gentleman that built the house, Mr. Russ, he committed suicide in the house. Well, that we,
Oh.
you know, th that was one of the big rumors, and the lore story that everybody tells that Mr. Russ died in the house or committed suicide in the house. Well, that never happened. He killed himself out of a different house for a whole different reason. I think with all the stuff that happened on that corner that the house sits on, the Battle of Marianna for the Civil War took place there. Wasn't a great big battle, but still, people lost their lives. And a big part of that battle is where the Russ House sits.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So the Indians, the Creek Indians,
Seminoles.
and the Seminoles, they had lived out through that area. The Spanish, way back in the days, would use the Chipola River, that's right up there, to go from north to south. So a lot of stuff happens in that area, but you could actually take, I think the Russ House would be is a good place to take any skeptic. And you could take them to the Russ House and their minds would be changed. Not because something
Wow.
reaches out and grabs you, but it's the other little things that happen at the Russ House. You could be sitting there and you could not only feel with your feet, but you could hear somebody walking right in front of you.
Like boots that walk up the stairs, it's
Yeah.
incredible. It's
Visually, we've only caught a few things there visually. Auditorily, we've caught quite a few things there. But the Russ House and then the Navy Dive Museum out here on the beach would
Yeah,
be a
that's a
good
good
one for me.
place.
Navy Dive Museum?
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's based off the
Sealab.
Sealab. You familiar with the Sealab project?
I am not, no.
Well, back in, geez, 70s, maybe,
About then.
The U.S. Navy decided that they were going to start testing the effects of being underwater for X amount of days would have on Navy divers.
Oh, okay.
So they built this huge apparatus called Sealab. It's like the space station, but underwater.
Oh, wow.
Off the California coast.
No, it's off Florida coast.
Oh,
Nothing happened in
cool.
California.
But originally, that's where it started.
Okay. So that museum is based on not only the Sealab, but actual Navy diving over the years. A lot of artifacts in there from years gone by. I mean, a piece of the actual Sealab sits out front.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Now, what makes it incredible for me is that the actual and all this stuff that for our Sealab and Russ House stuff that people can find on our YouTube channels. But the big thing there was the one of the actual creators of the Navy Dive Museum and being part of Sealab. I can't remember his name. Wilbur Eaton.
Wilbur Eaton.
Yeah, Wilbur.
Eaton.
Yeah, Wilbur Eaton. He passed away in the 80s, but his spirit is very much alive at the Navy Dive Museum.
Oh.
We have him on one of our EchoVox sessions, him just repeating his name over and over and over again. I am Will Eaton. I am Will Eaton. I am Wilbur Eaton.
Before I turn this off, is there anything else you want to tell us?
Over and over and over again. He was actually, this is one of my best videos. There's a big ship's compass. There's actually a couple of them in there, but a big ship's compass up there. And we would ask Wilbur to move the compass. And you could see it in our video that he actually moves it. We tell him, move it to the left, move it clockwise, counterclockwise. And he would literally move that magnet, that compass.
So he likes to interact with people then.
He does. And a lot of answers that we got from the museum was through Wilbur. Now, we did have a gentleman on our team named Kenny. He was basically the historian. He would collect data and stuff about the area. So he found some information that we didn't know that he was told to keep to himself. And this, I think, has to be the most impressive part about it, is there was a dolphin that would
Oh.
bring tools and stuff from the surface down to Sealab. They trained this
Wow.
dolphin to do this. Right. So we had asked, what's the name of the dolphin that brought you your equipment? And Mr. Eaton came right across the speakers and said, Tuffy. And that's the name of the dolphin, was Tuffy.
What was the name of the dolphin? What?
Oh, that is
It was
so
just, I mean,
cool.
just kills me just thinking about it.
Yeah.
But we went there one time and we started an EchoVox session, and every it just seemed like every other word out of his mouth was the F word.
Yeah.
I mean,
Typical Navy boy, come on.
I don't know what he was so upset about, but
We're back in. Talk to the curator the following week after we listened to our audio, and he goes that Wilbur Eaton cussed like a
no, those are the two
sailor.
guys I met at the hotel that were looking to do the Navy ball at the hotel, and they wanted to see a room.
Okay.
So yeah, so I brought these two Navy guys. They wanted to do a Navy ball at the hotel I worked at, and they wanted to see a guest room. So I took them up there, and we started a conversation about being in the Navy and the dive museum. And he goes, "Yeah, we knew the one guy, Wilbur Eaton, and it's like he had Tourette's. Just out of the blue, he'd start cussing, 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 and the F word was his favorite word." And I haven't said anything about what we you know, they didn't know I was an investigator. They just know I was a maintenance guy there. That was pretty cool.
Well, it's nice when you get...
It's always fun when you get validation, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth, actually.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. Now, y'all said that you had been able to investigate the caverns down there. Were you able to get anything?
Surprisingly,
yes.
I knew we would. I just didn't know what we would get.
And I thought because of... You know, there's running water through there. Mm-hmm. It's nothing but granite.
Oh yeah.
You know, I thought for sure.
Crystals.
Yeah, I thought for sure that we would get something. And I'm thinking that would have been, you know, like a Crete Indian or a Spanish person that, you know, that went into the caverns to seek shelter or something like that.
Right.
But the stuff that we've gathered out of there is really nothing like that. Actual people that I guess Americans, I guess we think we haven't gotten any names, but there's a female down there. There's that drunken poker player down there.
I did.
I know, right?
Weird. Just
one guy that I call him the drunk. I mean, not when we're down there, but as I refer to him. So the last time we were there, and we only get to go up there in November for 4 Saturdays a year.
Okay.
Because it's very hard to get permission because it belongs to the state.
And yeah.
Anyway, so we're grateful for every minute that we can get in there. But we... I took a deck of cards and a little tiny bottle of whiskey and decided that I would play
five card draw
with him. And we used the rim pod, was one beep for no, two for yes. And uh-huh. I played a game of five card draw with him and he won both hands. And I'm like, how did you do that? And Tracy goes, duh.
He's goes.
And,
yeah.
And it's really cool when she did the card thing because she would ask, you know, we threw his cards down, face down, now mind you. And we'd say, which, you know, how many cards do you want? And he would answer us on the rim pot, one, two, or three, or four, however many cards he wanted.
So, and he would indicate which cards to pull out of his deck.
We would pull those. Yeah, we pulled those cards out. She gave him three more, and then she took her cards, and then we flipped him over, and he won every time.
Oh, well, I think he's cheating too, so, you know. Kind of had the upper hand on you there. So.
Right.
That is so cool,
I was pretty
though.
Impressed.
Yeah, that's...
But there is an entity down there that we believe it's either... We believe that there is an Indian down there.
Okay. He's not very friendly.
It's not that he's not friendly. He's just kind of
standoffish. Like he's the guardian.
Oh, okay. Well,
and we've left offerings for him and stuff like that. And all the offerings when we would go up the world, actually Lou did. Lou left him in a little tiny wicker basket, some tobacco and.
Tobacco.
I think it was just tobacco. And, you know, there's tons of people that go on those cavern tours mm-hmm. daily. So Lou kind of put it in an area where nobody goes and nobody would find it. And that last time we went...
It was gone the following week.
Yeah, it was gone.
Wow.
The basket and everything was gone.
Well, maybe that's why he's nice to you, because I don't... Dealing with Native Americans makes me nervous just because I don't know how they're going to be with us.
Well, it kind of makes us the way he moves,
uh-huh.
The way he kind of like, well, all of a sudden like run up on you, then step back from you.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of, he kind of makes me nervous, but I don't think he means any harm whatsoever.
And more of intimidation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We've got one of those at Bobby Mackey's in the basement, and I don't like him at all.
Bobby Mackey's.
Yeah. I'm one of the tour guides there. So yeah, I don't not particularly care for that particular ghost. He's not very nice. So what are some other experiences? Like, what are some of your top experiences that you've had at the Russ house? Because it sounds like you guys are there quite a bit.
I think the most frightening experience I had was recently, where Tracy, myself, and then this one other girl that comes with us occasionally, Kelly. We were sitting upstairs in the parlor, just kind of just being quiet, and we had the EDI.
Probably, yeah.
The EDI on the floor, and I was watching out the door, and I saw a ball about this big start manifesting across in the hallway.
Oh, wow.
And I kept looking at it, and I thought, what in the world is this? And it just grew and got darker, and then it came at me across the, like, almost like a big furry rat.
It oh, wow.
Right across the floor and went over toward Kelly, and I literally jumped out of my chair, and of course, I have a dirty mouth, and I said, what the blank was that? And Kelly goes, I saw it. I said, what was that? And she goes, I bet you my cat died. When I left the house, my cat was very sick.
Oh.
I said, call your kids right now. And sure enough, she called her daughter. She went in the room, and the cat had passed. It was just,
oh.
Yeah, it was very sad, but that was so, I mean, the cat ran right past me or whatever it was, past me and over toward Kelly. It was
aww.
Weird.
Maybe it's cat's way of saying bye.
Yeah.
I think sweet. For me, the most, I don't think I really had a scary experience in the Russ house. But the best... It would when there was this one gentleman there at the rest house. When we would go, he would always be there, and he used to have fun with us.
We called him the prankster.
We called him the prankster. I mean, he just loved to. I mean, he loved to interact with the gear, and it was just great. Him and I developed a bond over the years, and it got to the point where I could actually know what he was saying. He would tell me what he was saying, and I could hear it. Nobody else could hear it. I could hear it. And we did a group up there, public investigation. There was a lot of people up there.
It's about 20 people.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then there was this one lady who was just being obnoxious, because it had to be all about her, you know?
Yeah.
When she was a psychic in her mind.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. Every time something would happen, a meter would flicker or the REM pod would go off. Oh, he's talking to me. He's talking to me. He wants to talk to me. You know, that kind of person?
Yeah.
Well, he was letting me know that this was getting very, very annoying. And I'm telling him, I'm like, well, I mean, like, what can I do? I can't tell her to shut up, you know? I can't do that. That'd be rude. And, you know, so he started putting images in my head of this wagon, this little red rider wagon with wood sides on it. And it was, it looked beat up, broken handle, and there was flowers in it, petunias.
You forgot to say that every time you would say something, she would contradict you.
Yeah, that's true, too.
When, yeah, the whole Lord. Night long.
Yeah.
I don't think I can hold my tongue with something.
Well, it's hard for me sometimes, but I do. sometimes. So these images were coming in my head of this wagon, and due to the bond that him and I had made over the years, he would often do this. So when I would get these images in my head, I would just tell everybody, these are the images that I'm seeing. Does it affect anybody or does it pertain to anybody? So I started talking about the wagon and the color of the petunias and the broken handle and stuff like this. And the lady that was being obnoxious, she's like, oh my God, that's the wagon that's in front of my house. So she was showing people pictures. Look, that's the wagon in front of my house. She didn't say a damn word the rest of the night.
Good for your buddy. I hope you gave him a high five.
not a damn word. I think it really freaked her out bad.
Oh, Little Miss Psychic. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. What are some, do you just investigate in Florida, or have you branched out and done any other places in other states?
Well, due to, Susan works for the government, she works for the Air Force, and my job kind of keeps us from traveling too far.
Okay.
Dogs. We have two dogs.
Yeah, we have dogs that we could, I mean, large dogs, so it's not like we could take them anywhere.
Yeah.
But Florida mainly, we've investigated a few places in Florida, throughout Florida.
We've been to Alabama.
Where did we go in Alabama?
Well, there were houses.
We did go to that house. Couple. Yeah.
Yeah, do you guys do private investigations for
only clients? Only if, you know, if they message us and we think it's actually legit. I mean, we'll make the determination right there after talking to them.
We try not to.
But if they seem sincere and
it doesn't sound like the last Ghost Hunters episode,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it got to the point to where we wouldn't even have to watch the ghost shows. By people calling us, we could tell exactly what they were about just by, you know, so we will do them if we think it's necessary, but normally we don't.
We've kind of gotten away from them too, because they're just too many people who think they're going to be on TV.
Right.
It's costly to go to these places, and you know, you don't charge, and it, you know, it's late at night, and then they want to argue with you when you don't find anything,
or lie to
or
you.
They're upset.
Or lie, right.
Or lie, yeah. It's just, I don't think it's good for our reputation.
Yeah.
You know, we try to be as honest and upfront as we possibly can. And,
right.
You know, set our moral standards, and we don't want the negative part of what comes with investigating private homes and not finding anything.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, I guess it would be like Shannon's house. Remember Shannon's house? The one with the little girl in it.
Or Marla's. We have been to a couple of houses that were really panned out.
But this was houses that they would allow us to come back over time and time again.
Right.
You know, but they don't, normally they don't understand that that's what it takes.
You have to set exactly.
You just can't go in there one time and bada bing, you know, then they get all pissed off, and, you know.
Write a bad review, and then which I don't like. I take it personally.
There's three or four.
I do. I'm like, what do you mean?
I think there's three or four other teams here in town.
Uh-huh.
But they don't do as much as we do. But the ones, houses that we go to, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind, after we would present the data that we collected to them showing that we didn't get anything, but they won't let us go back in again, that they would, no doubt in my mind, that they would call one of those other teams. And we would often get calls from previous clients or their previous clients going, listen, they said that, you know, after you guys left and they came in, there was, you know, there was actual Satan in my house and, you know, and this was going on.
Yeah, we just stay away from it. We just don't do private homes as a rule.
I don't blame you. They're a little bit too much to deal with. Because, I mean, again, it's just, you know, they don't understand that it's not a one and done thing. It just doesn't happen that way.
You're absolutely right.
I actually would like to go back to the caverns. Have you guys done any research on anybody who may have died in the caverns or by the caverns? Why some of these spirits might actually hang out there or anything?
There's not a lot written about the caverns and what went on there.
Uh-huh.
It was a stopping place for, forgive me if I give you the wrong name, but there was a tribe of Indians, Muscogee, maybe not, that they used that area as a stopover when they would go out hunting and stuff. So there is a man that had a heart. Did he have a heart attack while he was eating a peanut butter sandwich?
But before all that is, there's nothing. There were Indian artifacts found in the caves.
Okay.
The state of Florida, and I can't remember the name of the group, the company that went in there.
I know, I can't either.
But they hired this company to start basically going through the cavern, cleaning it out, and trying to make it into a tourist type thing.
They dug it out. I think the story goes that it wasn't accessible. You couldn't. There was a couple of air vents. I think that some people, there was.
I don't know, but there is certain areas that you could actually get in, but not like you could bring a tour through there.
Right. Okay. So they dug it all out.
So the ESSC, I don't know. But anyway, so there's really nothing written beyond or before they started excavating the caverns.
Okay.
But like I said, they did find Indian pottery and stuff like that in there.
And then in the museum in Tallahassee, they have that, was it a mobster was hiding out in the caverns?
Yeah, but that's after the Indians, after.
Later on.
Yeah, later on.
Wow.
But once the state started, that's when all the stories and whatnot started happening, when they started.
Understandable.
But there's only one death that it has been reported, and that was the peanut butter man.
And then the guides say that every once in a while they smell peanut butter when they get that one area of the cavern.
Uh-huh.
We didn't get anything out of that particular area, but we went in there cold, had never investigated there before. And we took a group, and there was one lady that was an empath, super nice. She was quiet the whole tour. And we started questioning in this area that we felt might be active. Turns out, I won't give you the whole story because I don't want to give it away for people that might want to come in the future to the next year. But I started talking on my gut instinct. And long story short, there was a lady that was going down there to meet with her lover. And she continued to go there waiting for him. Apparently, we believe that she got pregnant and he was married. But we were building this story in the very beginning, and this one lady just started bawling her head off. Oh, and then yeah. the rest of the group started bawling. I mean, as her story unfolded, it became heavier and heavier and heavier. It was quite an eye-opener. What I find fascinating is that something we kind of discovered a couple of years ago was that Tracy was having a conversation with a prankster, mm-hmm. and he said, "Should I let you go? Do you come just because I'm here? You should go toward the light. You should go beyond. Just, you know, you don't have to stay for me." And
yeah,
there wasn't a dry eye in that. It was almost like you could feel, it was almost tangible.
Aww.
The sorrow he was feeling about Tracy telling him, and several people started crying. I think that's amazing when you get so down into investigating that you can actually feel spirit and the emotions. I don't know if you've ever felt something like that.
I'm an empath, so I'm already getting teary-eyed over here as it is. So
I see
feel
that.
All that fun stuff.
Yeah, that little allergy you got going there.
Well, yeah, it's bad allergies. Know, yeah.
It actually got to the point with the prankster in the rest house that I actually started feeling bad because I feel that the only time he was having interaction with anybody was with when we were up there. And okay. I just felt bad, you know, so I just said, you know, you don't have to. And, you know, so as of this day today, the prankster is no longer there.
Oh, yeah, well, you guys did a good thing.
Yeah, hopefully. But going back to the caverns, this lady that got pregnant, we're not, there's no record of that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know exactly where she passed.
But she continues to go back to meet.
Yeah, but she's she's aww. All every time we've been there, she's been there. And then like the poker player guy from discussing things with him, through him answering yes, no questions and stuff like that, we don't know if we know he lost a bet. And part of the bet was having something to do with the caverns.
Okay. Oh.
So I don't know if he slipped in the caverns and met his demise. We don't know that. We can't get that at it.
Yeah, when you look on the internet and through the archives, there's nothing.
I mean, there's nothing.
Nothing that you can go back and at least try and validate what you know to be true or is real. But you know, another something I wanted to touch on at the rest house is we teach the collective consciousness, and we've been doing that now for several years. And mm-hmm. what I do is I have people go downstairs to the parlor, and let me back up a second. Downstairs in the parlor, whatever's down there, if there's a male in the room, he mm-hmm. won't interact at all. When there's nothing but females, we always get something.
Okay.
But what I do is I walk them through this kind of this meditation kind of thing. And everybody has a pad and a pencil. And nobody is allowed to interact with each other. They have to write down their thoughts, their smells, anything that pops in their mind, which is not something normal.
Right.
And so I did this for about 3 years and kept all the notes and consolidated them. They're all consistent.
Really?
Strangers that come, it's fascinating. Everybody writes down that there's a little boy.
Okay.
He has blonde curly hair. Uh-huh. He has like little blue overalls. They feel the presence of a man and a woman that's frightened. A lot of people get like chest pains.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we happen to know that Mr. Russ's second wife had pleurisy or something. Right. She died of a lung disease.
Oh, gosh, okay.
And so you can always tell who the empaths are in the room because they get the chest or they immediately smell alcohol from this male that's down there or the smell of lavender, which was very common back in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's yeah, pretty cool.
It is pretty cool because when it comes to me and actual psychics,
mm-hmm,
I kind of think they ruin the party if you have them there. I mean, if you're going to have a bunch of psychics there doing their thing, then what's the point of even investigating, you know? But
well, there's some good ones out there.
They're
hard to find.
You're right. And we know a couple that are, you know, true.
Yeah.
And she's Ariel. She's gone on a couple investigations on with us. But it's really amazing to see when you got a group of people. Now, I don't participate in this when she does this. But when you collect, when she's got this in this room, she's doing her thing and people start taking notes, not talking to anybody, just taking notes. Then we take those notes and then we compare them and everybody's saying the same thing, but nobody's talking. I mean, it blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's in my opinion, that's a more fun way to investigate the paranormal than all the little bells and whistles, which we use because that's an expectation of the people that pay money. But we try to do things a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And investigate a little bit differently than I don't know what the norm is, but that's giving validation to what you're trying to find out about a location. You know,
yeah,
when there's this group that's never met each other, never been there before, but they're all writing down the same things, that's mm-hmm, pretty amazing.
It is. And I mean, I've always said that the best piece of equipment you can have is your own body, your own senses.
Yeah.
I mean, I do, you know, for people who have to do content, obviously you have to bring out little gadgets and stuff. But, you know,
absolutely.
My favorite thing is just a recorder in my hand, maybe a camera, and then just me. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm good with that too.
Yeah. Have you guys caught any really good EVPs, like Class A EVPs, in any of the places?
The Navy Dive Museum, the Rust House.
The bridge?
No, we have never actually caught any EVPs at the bridge. But no, I think that's all.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think the Rust House and the Navy Dive Museum is probably the two places where we caught most of the EVPs.
What are some really good ones that you remember?
Oh, man.
The horse.
Yeah, Susan and I were sitting on the second floor of the Rust House. And Susan was talking, because we started getting closer to or narrowing the field out to what we thought was there. And Susan started talking about, because we thought that it was could be somebody that worked in the stables that was behind the house. And so Susan started talking about thoroughbred horses and horses in general.
Yeah.
And we got an EVP, because I think it's Susan said, you know, what did you take care of? Were they quarter horses? Were they
thoroughbreds
or something of that? Then Susan stopped talking, and then over the recorder, shortly after that, we got It's a Donkey.
I bet they were thoroughbreds, weren't they? It gets better. Years later, they pulled the photo albums down out of the attic And yeah. sure enough, there was a stable hand with a donkey.
That is so awesome.
I know.
Yeah. See, another good one from the Russ House. So some of our, this has happened where when we get on a roll going to the Russ House, it's usually we could go, you know, 4 or 5 times in a matter of 3 months period, you know, when mm-hmm. we really want to go. And there's been times where we've asked questions on the first investigations, but get the EVP answer on the third investigation.
Oh, I love that stuff.
So when we're talking about the fishing.
Oh, yeah.
So in the first investigation, we were going down the line of the general questions, you know, what do you like to do, stuff like this, so on and so forth. So, and then the third investigation, when we didn't get nothing on the first one, we weren't talking about fishing. I don't remember what we were talking about, but just clear as a bell, it comes over and says, I go fishing.
We love this place like you do. That's why you're still here.
We have all this stuff on our website, all these EVPs and things like that.
But over the times at the Russ House, since we started bringing out all these gadgets and uh-huh. stuff like that, I think it's much more easier for them to interact with these devices than actual recording. So the EVPs have dramatically lessened.
Oh, well, yeah.
At these places.
They probably have more fun with the gadgets, something they can physically do themselves.
I think it's easier for them
to manipulate maybe. Them.
Yeah, it probably, yeah.
Let's see. Oh, man, there's so many good ones at the Russ House that they're just.
What about at the dive place?
Oh, the dive room is just basically, you know, Wilbur, you know, talking about C-Lab, calling out his name, talking about the dolphin.
The F-word.
The F-word was a good one. He's very, and when you hear him, when you hear his voice.
Uh-huh.
If you knew very little about Navy divers, just that much about a Navy diver, with just hearing his voice, you could tell he was a diver.
Okay.
He had that grumbly, I've been underwater half my life,
raspy
voice, you know, yeah. I smoked 6 packs of marbles in an hour, you know.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Now, if people want to follow your investigations and find out when you guys are having events and stuff, how can they find you guys?
We post our events on Facebook.
Okay.
We usually post them about 2 weeks out. Not so much our webpage. We post our webpage, but not on Facebook as a rule, you know.
Yeah.
But Tracy had a triple bypass in September.
Oh, goodness.
I had back spinal fusion in January. Ooh. So we've been out of pocket here for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're just at the point where we're finally going to get back on our feet.
Oh, yeah, I hope you guys are doing better.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's great because I didn't think he had a heart until they
Good one.
But most of our events do get shared on our Facebook page. Like she said, our evidence we keep on our website or our YouTube channels.
Okay.
They can contact us through our Facebook page, you know, if they need to.
What's your Facebook page?
I think, just do a search. You can just do a Google search for Emerald Coast Paranormal Concepts.
Okay.
And our Facebook page will come up, or YouTube will come up, everything will come up.
Okay, great. And I'll actually also put the links in the description for this episode.
Great. Make
it easy for people to reach out to you and see some of your YouTube stuff.
Yeah,
that's great. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been such a lovely being able to actually chat with you and see what's going on in y'all's crazy world down there.
Having us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's always great for us to, you know, share what we do with other individuals that do what we do. And just a
it's
couple days
different
before
every
we
time.
Close is, yeah, huh?
It's different
yes,
every
yes.
time for me.
Yeah, and I like doing things like this because it makes us that do what we do seem a little bit more normal.
Yes.
To those that don't know what we do.
Yeah, you forget we live in the South, so.
Yeah, Bible Belt.
The Bible Belt.
Yeah.
Y'all probably are demonic people, I'm sure. Yeah. Messing with
yes.
those satanic forces now down there in that Bible Belt.
Well, you know, it used to, I know we got to close out here, but I used to have arguments with religious people.
Not surprised.
And I would always go to the same line. I'd always say the same thing. We don't do anything that you do when you go to church. What do you do when you go to church? You go into a building. You sit there for an hour.
I'm moving because he's going to get struck by lightning any minute.
You talk. You talk to somebody you cannot see.
Yep.
How is that different than what I do?
Exactly.
And they usually hush after that.
Yeah, that's usually a good stopping point for them. I love it. I love you guys. You guys are fantastic. And again, thank you so much for coming on. And if you get, you know,
you're
whenever
welcome.
You want to come back on, you just let me know. I love Where's hearing stories.
Okay. All right.
All right,
well,
guys.
Well, have an awesome weekend. Thank you so much for having us. We really had a good time.
You are very welcome.
Okay.
Y'all have a great day.
Okay.
Are you beside the couch?
Is there anything we can do to help you?
Can you tell me what day it is? Wilbur, I still want to hear you tell me what day of the week it is.
Thank you for listening to Paranormal Whispers, a Through the Abyss podcast production.